to the Build Your Empire podcast, where today we are joined by Kyrie Oliver, all the way from the States, which is very, very exciting. And Kyrie and I joined or connected on socials, which is really, really cool. And I'm loving watching everything that that he stands for. So a little brief intro about Kyrie. He's 28 years old, former Division I football player. I'm definitely going to touch on that a little bit later. And Kyrie is the top 0.05% of expert marketers and has created over 130 million, yes, 130 million in revenue generated for his clients using Facebook ads, which is freaking awesome. So thanks for joining us, Kyrie.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me on.
You are most welcome. So I want to dive straight in with you. You really, you know, obviously in the marketing space, but you are a masculinity coach as well. Tell me, you know, life for you hasn't always been what it looks like now, growing up in, like you said, a pretty crazy situation for you. Like what made you end up in this position now, do you think?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about it is it wasn't a crazy situation for me because it was all I knew. Yes. I didn't notice it was a crazy or like unideal situation until I was older. Cause to me, it was just, that's how we lived and it was normal. And it wasn't like, I've heard so much worse stories too, but I was raised by a single mom. We did move around a lot. It was weird being like a biracial kid in a pretty poor white neighborhood raised by a single white mom who had two little brown kids, you know, and we weren't adopted. Yeah. But everybody thought we were, and, you know, I didn't look like these kids, but I didn't act like these kids. Yeah. So it just kind of forced me to, I'd say, to search out my identity pretty early. I just, okay, I don't fit in either group that I would want to be in. So I kind of just have to stand here in no man's land and say, let me figure this out. Who am I? When I don't think most people even consider that until later in life, if they ever do. So I would say like the entrepreneurship thing, while I didn't know that I wanted to like own an online business of some sort, I knew it wasn't going to be normal or conventional. I just didn't know what that was going to look like. So it was sort of like a path and journey into figuring out what the hell is this going to look like.
Yeah. And do you feel like, you know, obviously being accepted into, you know, football on a scholarship, did you feel as though, you know, for a while there that your direction was kind of like, oh, hey, well, I better go and do this then because I got the scholarship, so I better go and do this. And I know, I know for me that I followed a few things that probably, you know, they weren't my ideal. If I spoke my truth, they weren't my ideal. I was looking at someone else's dream.
I think I thought that was my ideal.
And
I would genuinely say it was at the time. Like that is what my identity was based around, was football. I was Kyrie, the football player. And it wasn't until I stripped myself of that, that I got to figure out like this version of me now. But for a long time, for, you know, high school and college, and then even like, I was telling one of my friends, we're going back home for my wedding in a few weeks. And, I still have people in my hometown ask me about football. And I'm like, I haven't played in 7 years.
Yeah.
Like it's not part of my normal everyday now, but that's still what they know me as. So it's something interesting where I've been removed enough that I've been able to generate and create what is my identity outside of this thing, while still having a lot of people still see me as that.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Yeah. Hey, like people, they have this this vision of you, and it doesn't matter how long it's been, you're still the same person. I'm not even remotely close. So I
understand that. Well, I'm also from a town where like nobody really does anything different. So it's like they're still doing the same thing they were doing when I left 7 years ago.
Yeah. And probably will still be in the next seven, right?
In the next 50, yes.
Yeah, 100%. So moving on to like masculinity in business, right? Obviously, as you started to carve out what you're doing now and you know, generating amazing success for yourself, but also clients as well, there's this dance that kind of happens, you know, of who you think you need to be, and then, you know, maybe I need to please some people. And I know this is going to resonate with a lot of people that are listening to this, because we get stuck in and we don't even realize, but we get stuck in that people pleasing. We get stuck in not potentially speaking our mind. And I know that's something that you are amazingly good at with your Facebook posts that have me in stitches of laughter daily. But you know, a lot of people don't actually put up things on social media that they actually want to say due to being worried about, but what if I get haters? But what if people don't agree? How would you coach somebody through that? You know, if they're entering the online space and really stepping into that authenticity of being exactly who you are, good and bad, whether people are.
So I think it is difficult, especially at the beginning, like especially if you haven't generated the business success yet, because in some ways you kind of need to do the dance a little bit that everybody else does. Yeah. Like I'm trying to pay my bills. I was trying to afford dog food and my rent. I got to make this thing happen. So I got to take on the client I don't necessarily want to take on, or I have to maybe not share my opinion on certain things because I need to be liked. Yeah. And I think you get to an eventual point in your business and then your life that stops being part of your criteria for what you post. Is somebody going to like it? It's hard though, because people, and we've seen this, people swing to the opposite end where it's like, I'm just going to post everything nobody likes. And like, I'm going to be super controversial. I'm going to be a troll. I'm going to be the, opposite. I'm going to be the opposition to everybody.
There's actually somebody that pops into my head straight away when you say that. And I'm like,
so that's why I post about things like that. Is everybody has that person pop in their head. They're like, yeah, that guy or that lady.
Oh man.
It's a balance.
Karen, you know, it's like,
yes.
You know, you can be controversial and you can say what you think, but if you're just doing it to get attention or to get bites, it becomes arrogant, you know, and it actually becomes, you know, somewhat hurtful to people because they're prying for pain points, you know.
And you'll see your business suffer eventually. Like I know people who 4 or 5 years ago were super popular online. And then their hot takes, their like super trolly content started like really rubbing people the wrong way, or people who were pretty moderate. Most people are pretty moderate. The people who are moderate were like, that's a little much for me. I'm going to excuse myself. That's a little much for me. I'm going to excuse myself. And so people started quietly leaving. And then all of a sudden the person has a launch coming up. So normally what they do is before launch, they just start a bunch of controversy online, get a bunch of attention, and then, oh, by the way, I have this program coming out. But once you do that and nobody's listening, that person has to then go like, oh, I went too far.
Yeah.
So they don't even know they went too far until it's too late. And so it's one of these weird things. It's kind of like raising a kid. I've got a 15-month-old. I know you have kids as well. I know most people listening will have kids. You don't know if you did a bad job until later.
Yes, I know.
You don't know until they grow up.
This is where I'm at right now. Like, oh my God, have I messed this up?
So I think it has to be taken. Your online brand, personality, content has to be taken with that level of seriousness. Is I'm building something that I don't really get to know a very true way of how it's perceived until I try to make money from it, until I try to launch something, until I try to create this program. I'm going to know what my brand equity looks like once I want people's money. Yeah. And only then do I get to know, have I done a good job or do I need to do better?
Yes. And that's so, you know, relative to people building business online that are potentially getting crickets, is that what you're putting out there, people aren't loving. Hence so why.
Right?
You know,
that's the hard realization. It's never the market's fault. It's always your fault. The market's never wrong. The market tells you what your value is. The market cannot be wrong.
We
blame the platform. Facebook sucks. Instagram sucks. Well, Twitter's just not great for me. TikTok, I don't know how to do it. It's never the platform's fault. It's never the audience's fault. You're either speaking to the wrong audience or you're telling them the wrong message, and you have to figure out which one it is.
Or you're just downright trying to sell to them in every post.
That's true too. And it's hard not to, again, when you have that rent bill due and I don't have enough of my account to cover it. I'm going to go post 8 times trying to get somebody to pay me. We don't realize that hinders us in the long run.
Yeah, 100%. So masculinity in business, this is something that, God, hand on heart, I didn't even know was a thing, you know. And, you know, masculinity is always thought of to just be the male, right? It's just to be the male. But there's so many, and me being one of them, you know, women who are successful in the online space that stay in their masculinity, which is the doing and the, you know, get shit done,
pushing,
but then struggle to fall into that feminine. So from that, what do you see? Like, what do you see in the online space when it comes to that topic?
Yeah, I think it's hard because it's hard for us to fight against what we've set up as a reward system for ourselves. Okay. And so for a woman in business, you almost sometimes have to be more masculine than the men in order to be taken seriously. Yeah. Hey, I've got this thing going. Hey, I'm leading a team. Hey, I'm building systems. Mm-hmm. I've got to be a little bit more strict with myself and with the people around me because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. Me, not really. But for if you're a woman in business, a little bit different.
Kyrie just came out with a bomb.
Gosh, that'll be a great transition. You kind of have to go a little bit overboard in some ways to become successful. And then once you do, most women have now adopted that as this is who I am. And now it leaks into your personal life. It leaks into your marriage. It leaks into your parenting style. Yeah. And I think a lot of times the personal life suffers. I would say probably 30% of my clientele now, even though I'm a men's coach, I'm a masculinity coach.
Yeah.
Probably one out of every three clients who comes to me now is a female entrepreneur saying, because I'll talk about it online, like, hey, I see what's going on behind the scenes. I see in my female clients, I know if I post this online, more of you women who haven't risen your hand and said, hey, me too, are going to sit behind the screen and say, damn, me too.
Yeah.
And so I have to be able to share what I'm seeing. And a lot of it's leaking into the personal life. A lot of it has a huge impact on marriages. It has a huge impact on parenting styles.
Yeah.
The not knowing when and where and how, because I haven't set up another reward system for myself other than masculine push. I haven't set up a reward system for being more feminine. I haven't even allowed myself the space to consider, is this something I need to do or be more of?
Yeah. So for everybody listening, you know, there's going to be people that are listening to this right now, like, oh, me too. Me, like, this is me. These guys did this podcast for me. Like if they find, you know, a lot of my audience are female, there's definitely still males as well. But if the people are finding that, you know, they are stuck in that masculinity, what are some of the things that they're going to start to notice? Like you said, they're going to see it play out in parenting and business and all sorts of things. But what are some telltale signs that you're probably in your masculine side too much?
Friction and discomfort.
Yeah.
Because masculine thrives in friction and discomfort.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when you'll start to realize, like, when you feel at the end of the day, when social media is gone, when your team is offline, when you're offline, and you have that, oh, at the end of the day, whether that, huh, is I'm grateful for everything I've built and this is incredible and I'm now transitioning into my personal life and going to be with my husband and family and whoever, or God, that was so draining. Mm-hmm. I think it was so draining tells you and should be a warning sign that I'm not being in my, let's call it your flow state, in my natural way of being. I've been pretending and I've been rewarded for pretending. And so it just incentivizes me to pretend more, but it's hard to convince my subconscious that I'm not pretending when I absolutely am. You may be really good at it. You may have convinced yourself that this is just who you are now, but most of the time, you've been suffocating and stifling sometimes like that little girl inside you or that piece that wants to be able to tell, like, let's say you make more money than your husband, when that piece of you that says, I want you to take me out on a date and I want you to pay for everything and I want you to open my door and I want you to do the stuff. I want the more traditional, even though I may make more money, even though I may be more successful, I need a way to turn that off sometimes. And so I think what happens is these women come to me fatigued. They come to me with, I haven't turned it off in 10 years to the point where I don't know if I know how to turn it off now. Or what if I turn it off and everything I've built crumbles? What they don't realize is that transition back into feminine is the springboard that gets you from, let's say, the 100K a year to 600K a year or the 500K to 3 million or the 3 million to 20 million, oftentimes being able to come back into, oh, that feels normal. Oh, that feels natural. Oh, I'm not super fatigued at the end of the day. Oh, I don't feel like I need to completely like back away and take my break and my sabbatical every 2 weeks like I have been. I feel good just being here. I feel good just operating this way. It allows you kind of the more of the feel good when you've told yourself, I'm not allowed to feel good. I need friction and discomfort.
Yes. And, you know, I see that a lot is a lot of people constantly digital detoxing, you know, like, and I'm all for it. Like, you got to put that stuff down. I get it. But if you're doing it every week or two, like there's massive, you know, alignment issues there where,
you know, it's crazy. I've never considered it.
No, I haven't. Oh, actually, I'm going to, that was a lie. I have
once. Oh, no.
I have once. Once I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put it all down. And it was actually amazing. It was really good. We took a 2 week holiday and it was great. But after that.
This goes back to what we talked to before. It's never the platform's fault. Mm. It's how you're using it.
Yeah.
I don't use social media for my therapy or my sense of self-worth or my tell me how awesome I am. I go there to share pieces of me. And so because all of my social media experience is here's pieces of me for everybody else, I don't feel like I need a break because I'm not scrolling my timeline all day. I've pulled it up before. I post 3 times a day since 2018. I've posted 3 times a day. There have been 2 days that I didn't post. My parents got in a car accident. I didn't post that day. I had to fly back to California. My ex attempted suicide at my house. Didn't post that day. Had to fly back home from Florida. I was on vacation. 2 days in 6 years almost that I didn't post. But if I look on my Facebook screen time on my iPhone right now, I'm on Facebook 1 hour and 14 minutes on average per day. Wow. It looks like I'm on there all day long.
Yeah.
And some of the people who follow me, I can tell when people are arguing with me in my comment section and I don't respond for a few hours and they keep going on it. I'm like, this person's sitting at their computer all day. Yeah. I don't have notifications turned on Facebook on my phone. Yes. If you look, I don't have a single notification on Facebook.
I'm exactly the same. That was actually, I love that you touched on that. That was a big game changer for me, was turning my notifications off, because I became a slave to the ding.
That little red button, that little red notification.
Oh man, it was like ding, oh quick, who needs me, you know, like and it became like suffocating, you know, that word that you said, like absolutely suffocating. We become you know, is it dopamine that we're getting when those dings go off?
Yeah, well, it's dopamine and it's also cortisol, because your stress hormone gets activated.
Yeah,
so it's also stress. Even though you think it's like pleasure, it's also stress.
Yeah. So
it's, what if something's going wrong?
Yeah. Putting us in that fight or flight all the time.
Yeah. So, and then you get addicted to it. It is an addictive thing of, now I'm like, what if I don't have the stress? Who am I without my stress and friction? That's something that's really hard when I have sessions with female clients. Like, starting to get to those questions is really difficult, because oftentimes you don't have an answer. Who am I without my stress and discomfort? What would you do? If you had a day where you didn't stress about anything, what would you do all day?
Yeah.
And the answer, the honest answer, is you would find something to stress about.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
That's a place I'm used to being in and operating from. And I don't realize how much it's hindering me.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Even just put that way, like, we would go and seek it out.
You'd find it. And you would, like, you almost get ravenous for it. And people talk about, like, staying in bad relationships. Oftentimes people stay, you think it's because of comfort, and partially it is, but you wouldn't know what to do without the toxicity. You wouldn't know what to do if you didn't go home and argue with your spouse all day, because then you'd have to wonder, do they actually love me? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in your business. If nothing's on fire, am I valuable?
Yes. Wow. Hard. So there's definitely people that are listening right now going, oh snap, right? I'm in my masculine. I'm in it all the time. Like, I actually froth over being, you know, busy and crazy and overwhelmed. What are some steps that you could recommend? Obviously, it's not something that, you know, you can just heal overnight and listen to this podcast and voila, you're done. But what are some active awareness that people can start to bring to those types of things?
Yeah. I think it's recognizing the fatigue. It's also setting up a support system around you. Like, do you have people in your life who can tell you when it's happening? Because you may not necessarily notice it, and you may not be able to tell, but your kids can tell, and your spouse can tell, and your business partners can tell, and your clients can tell. So do you have the four or five people in your life who can be like, hey, maybe take a break, and that you'll actually listen to? That's the hard second part, is you'll actually have to listen to them.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not even trusting your own self to self, like to self-regulate. Sometimes it's giving somebody else the keys to the safe and saying, hey, I can't trust myself with this because I don't know what it looks like. You know what it looks like. Can you help me see when it's happening?
Wow, that's really powerful. Yeah. That's really powerful. And we don't ask for enough help, right?
Well, a lot of people don't have the person. So I had a friend over this last weekend who owns a multiple eight-figure copywriting business. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have anybody to go to when things are going wrong, because everybody looks at him all day. He's got the answers. He's the one with the answer. Why would he ever be asking the question?
Yes.
So nobody ever asks him if he's all right. He mm-hmm. also doesn't know how to ask, like, if he's not all right. There's been a few times I've invited him over just to like watch football or whatever, kind of hoping like maybe we can get into some of those conversations, just because I know a lot of those guys who are seen as the pinnacle of, you know, success or business, oftentimes they don't have anybody to turn to when something's going wrong. So a lot of times it's the more successful people that you think have all these people around them that don't have anybody in a position to really help them. Yeah. And so for my coaching business, that's been a big part of it, is I kind of get to be the big brother, the younger brother, the mm-hmm. mentor, the friend, the whatever you're looking for at that time to check on you, or to, hey, you've been talking about this lately. You haven't really been doing anything about it though. Hey, mm-hmm. how much time have you been spending with your kids? How much time have you been spending, you know, finding the right connections with somebody that you can enjoy and share your life with that you have been putting off while you're building your business? I can ask you the difficult questions because you know it comes from a place of love. I don't need anything from you. I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything. My job is to come in here and provide you a space where, this is a big for the women too, you don't get to or need to be masculine. I got it handled. I'm the masculine one here. You don't get to out masculine me. I got more testosterone. So now you can just focus on leaning back. You can just focus on being supported.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I saw one of your posts come up about, you know, when you can become that person, especially, you know, as a male, you know, you're opening up that door for more support and more trust and more love and, you know, all of those things. But it is something that we're not taught. I know my generation, the generation is like, you have a problem, you pick up the rug, you just stuff it under there.
And shove it under there with the rest.
Right? And that huge big mound in the right, that doesn't exist. Right?
But we don't look at it.
We definitely don't talk about that. And, you know, isn't it crazy now that, you know, seeing, you know, and even for myself, you know, being in situations where, you know, finding a partner or being with somebody is like, wow, there's this generation of broken, right? I'm going to use that word, but it's, you're not necessarily broken, but you know where I'm coming from, because it is that, you know, the masculine side wasn't something that we've seen before. So now there's generations and generations and generations of trauma and hurt that need to be healed, but there's not a lot of people that have potentially got the guts to go, hey, I can't
there
do
it. There aren't great models for it. There aren't great models for the healthy version. We see the 10% on this side and the 10% on this side. The guys who go to Bali and don't want any responsibility and don't want any structure in their lives. Mm. And the guys who are up on stage, you know, having you go put on boxing gloves and beat each other up for a whole weekend to make you feel more masculine or make you feel like you can reclaim your manhood in some way.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of people on both ends. We don't have very many people just saying, hey, there's an answer in between these two. There's an answer that's not so extreme that we can have more sustainably.
So if you grew up in a household with a single mom, how did you learn this?
I talked to a lot of people. I've interviewed over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And I was really looking to learn about myself. Mm. And I I've started recognizing patterns in what made people happy versus sad, successful versus unsuccessful, fulfilled, you know, with a $40,000 a year job, and totally unfulfilled having made $480 million in this one specific guy's life. He was dying empty, and I had to watch him scrambling to like reconnect with his family. He was terminally ill. He knew he was going to die within a few months, and like trying to undo all the damage he had done over decades and decades. And his family was already done with him. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to.
Yeah. We've heard it all before.
Good riddance. Yeah. We've heard it all before and you didn't. And so what makes us believe you're going to do it now? And I had to watch the guy, like I became kind of good friends with him. I interviewed him for like 7 hours. Wow. And I remember walking in the day that he was gone. I had just talked to him like 2 days before, and I knew for a fact that the man died empty.
Yeah.
He didn't die happy. He didn't die with his family around him. He was calling and asking for his sons to come be with him, and they wouldn't. They had their families. They'd like, they had endured him as children. So why would I want to be around you as an adult? And I started seeing so many of those people. I couldn't help but, and this is when I was 19 to 21 years old, most of them. So I was like super young kid watching all of this play out in front of me, watching people at the end of their lives. I did 65 of the end of life interviews, and then the rest were all random people, friends, family. Like my friend's uncle was a politician. This guy was running for mayor in San Francisco. Random people. I interviewed monks, billionaires, bunch of homeless people. I used to go buy them $4 all you can eat pancakes at Denny's, and we would just sit and talk. And so I just think I got so much perspective from literally over 1,000 other people that I got to kind of pick apart and say, which pieces of this do I like and do I want to adopt for myself?
Yes. And no better, hey, than seeing it roll out and for you to be able to get a front row seat to who you don't want to be. You know, and I think it's I was in exactly the same position. If I'm brutally honest, all I've done throughout my life is the complete opposite to the people that let me down, to the people who weren't there, to the people that weren't present, the ones that didn't hold space. I've just done the opposite, you know, and it's worked out all right, I think. But, you know, it's more about, you know, when you're unconsciously being your parents, and you're unconsciously making all of the same mistakes, but stating that you've changed.
So this is the difficult transition. Transitioning from here's what I'm running away from to finding something to run toward. And I think most entrepreneurs have spent their entire entrepreneurial existence running away from something like that. Wow. Running away from all the people that told them they couldn't, ran away from the pain. They ran away from the people that were holding them back. They were running away from something. They have never slowed down, looked back, remembered nobody's chasing me anymore, and said, okay, now what am I running toward? I've never considered what I'm running toward. I've never considered what me in 20 years looks like. And can I just go start earning that person? Can I just, every single day I'm putting deposits into an account, I get to cash it out in 20 years. And then that 20 years, I get to see what all that work has done. I have to delay my gratification. I have to stop looking behind me and realize, like thinking that there's some big monster chasing me down. I have to now put my focus into who am I looking to become, devoid of whatever's back there.
Wow. That's that is the biggest gold nugget, because, and I can liken it to my journey, same thing. You know, we build, and a lot of entrepreneurs are in the same position. We build things from places of pain.
They're underdogs.
And that's that. It's great, right? Like, you got all this pain and it's pushing you to go and do all the things. And in a lot of cases, it works out very, very well. But what point do you stop doing that? So what would you say to somebody who's in that position now, where they have built a business based on pain, based on running away, based on, you know, the monster chasing them? How would they start to switch over now to, okay, who do I actually need to become, or what is it that I'm working towards?
Yeah. So I think one thing I have people do is, if my life continues exactly the way it is, if I don't do any better, where do I end up in 5 years? And most of it's, where do I end up mentally in 5 years?
Yeah.
Let's say I continue doing this. Let's say I continue kind of beating my head against the wall, successful, money, all that stuff. But what if that, like that piece of me that I don't really like to pay attention to, what if that continues to fester for 5 more years and I have them write out a story around what that looks like? Now you get to write out the other story. You get to write out the story of, I've spent that 5 years healing from this and recovering from this and implementing a new lifestyle for myself. And now I get to write out that story and we compare them against one another. Mm. One's a really happy story that ends very well for you. One is a story you would never share publicly that ends very, very tragically for most people. I do this especially with people who've just left the relationship and are wanting to go back or like feel a pull to come back. Mm. And I say, write out what that relationship would look like if nothing changed. You're not talking about their potential or who they could have been or who they were that one time when you were really happy with one another, who they were when you guys decided to break up. Tell me what your life would have looked like with them 5 years down the road. Mm. And it's a horror story for most people.
Mm. Unless the change is made, right?
Well, that's what exposes the change that needs to be made.
Mm.
That's what lets you actually feel it, is I have to write out a legit story, like a school project. I have to write out a story for myself of what this would look like if I did nothing new.
Mm. And that's enough. It's enough in most cases for people to go, okay.
For most people, or else I'll find it until it is.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll keep having doing conversations around it until something hits.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. So in business, what was, not in business, just in your journey, what mm-hmm. was the one thing for you that was the penny drop moment? Was there a book? Was there a moment? Was there a situation? Like you said, you interviewed a heap of people, but was there a moment that kind of, you know, like you said, you wrote out your story and decided I wanted to change that?
Yeah. So I did it the I call it the caveman way, the most like difficult way possible. Yeah. I started staring at myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
I did it for 18 months, probably 3 days a week for an hour. I would set a timer for an hour and I would just stare at myself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. I was living in a trailer. Nobody else was there. My closet that was next to my bed, there was like 6 inches between my bed and this like little sliding glass door closet. Mm-hmm. I would just sit at the edge of my bed and stare at myself. And everything comes up, good, bad, and ugly, and my insecurities, all the stories, all the experiences that I've had. I don't believe I could leave most people alone with themselves, staring at themselves for more than 10 minutes before they freak out. Mm. And I just spent so much time doing it. I got to genuinely like this person. I like living in my own brain. I like being in my body. I like being this person. And I can say it genuinely. I don't need to say it for social media. I don't need to say it for the likes and the woohoos. I can genuinely just be cool with this person. Everything else to me is now extra credit. So I feel like I'm working on extra right now. I have everything I need.
Yeah.
And I get to just go create everything else. It feels like it's a weird adventure park I'm running in right now. If my fiance asked me the other day, if we lost all of our money, what would you do?
Yeah.
I was like, I will go make it back. Yeah. It would take me 2 days.
Yeah, I did a similar post probably about a month ago. It was like, when I thought about it, I've been stripped many times, you know, of everything we think is important, mm-hmm. but you're still left with you. And I think, you know, the last time that happened for me was a pivotal moment because I was stripped of everything that I thought I needed and everything I thought that I was and everything that was important to me. And then when I was left this bare shell, I actually went, hang on a minute. This is where it's at. All the rest of the stuff is, you know, additional bonuses in the journey.
Well, that's all you started with. Like me is who created it in the first place. Who am I to question whether he can do it again?
Mm.
Whether she can do it again.
Mm.
I'm saying that I'm worse than I was when I made it the first time. I haven't learned anything. I haven't gotten better, more resourceful, a better network of people around me.
Mm.
I'm discrediting everything I've worked on to be able to save. My bank account went to zero. it would be back up to X amount within X amount of time, and it's not very long.
Yeah. And I've found every time that it's happened for me, I've come back better. And the bank account, has doubled and tripled, and you know, and the end result was actually way more powerful.
Again, you were the person who created it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's insane for me to believe that I have no ability to do it again. That's insane. Of course I can. I'm better. I'm wiser. I'm more matured. I have more resources. Like, I have better people around me. Mm. What makes me believe that this is going to be the thing that's going to fuck me up? After all this stuff I've been through, this thing is going to be what tears me down? Mm-mm. No, thank you.
No. Nah. So that is so powerful. So I would love for you, when as we wrap this up, for you, what is your go-to quote? What is the one thing when you think quote, what's the one thing that comes up for you?
Horace Mann. I'm actually getting this tattooed on me. I don't know where. Horace Mann, be ashamed to die until you've won some victory for mankind.
That one's going to play on my head now all day, because I'll be trying to pick it to pieces. And
the first time I heard it, it was like, it was a hard one.
Yeah.
Be ashamed to die until you've won some victory for mankind.
Mm. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Like, if I leave before doing this.
Yeah.
What was it for?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. We're not here to just exist. But so many.
Some people are, though. Like, it's a weird thing in the entrepreneur space that everybody needs to do this. Mm. I don't believe that at all. I don't think most people are cut out for it. Yeah. I think that's why most people who try it fail. Some people aren't supposed to do this, and there's no less value that they hold, because without that, this doesn't come together. Without the giant without the workers, giant companies don't exist.
Mm.
Not everybody needs to be like the big visionary CEO that looks sexy online anymore.
Yeah. You still got to have that purpose, you know, like what was your mission?
Yeah. Or it can be more close to the chest. It doesn't have to be like a global thing.
Yeah.
Maybe my legacy of who, like how I've raised my children, is the victory I win for mankind. I left behind better humans than the scenarios and the situations I grew up in.
Yes. Yeah. The breaking the chain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so powerful. Kyrie, I cannot thank you enough for your time. There has been some mega gold nuggets in there that are definitely going to have me thinking for the rest of the day, pulling some of those to pieces and diving deeper. I appreciate you. I love that we've connected online.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Man, Instagram is probably the easiest. It's just at Kyrie, K-Y-R-E-E. Facebook, if they're friends with you, I'm one of your friends on Facebook. I think the link is like facebook.com/KyrieOliver1994, or just type in Kyrie Oliver and I'm probably the first one that comes up.
Nice. Thank you so much. I cannot wait to release this. I appreciate you. And this probably won't be the end of our little chats.
No, not at all. Thank you again.
You're welcome.